Welcome to Elmira Baptist Church Sunday School. I am very happy to see, actually I can't see it, I keep saying that. I'm very happy that you're all here and thank you for your attendance. I pray this will be a blessing to each one of you this morning as we look at another of the reciprocal living studies on the one another commands. And this is January 10th. And welcome to all of you that are live streaming, or not live streaming, but recorded streaming, listening and watching the streaming. We're glad that you're here as well. I hope that all of you in Sunday school have a handout. It's entitled, Do Not Judge One Another, from January 10th, 2021. And I hope that you will take time, because there's a lot of material, and much of it is on the handout. It will truly enhance your ability to be able to absorb the material. So please make sure you have a handout. And we are going to be talking about do not judge one another. And we have a lot of material, so I want to start right up. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together as we study His Word. Father, thank you for the privilege of looking at another one another command. We know that this is what you commanded us to do in the Bible, or not to do, to enhance and express the fellowship that we have in one another as being in the body, your body, the body of believers. And Father, we know that we're members one of another. And we ask, Father, that you would be with us in a special way. And to all who listen, to all that are in Sunday school, I pray that you would bless this study as we open your word to see what you would have for us today. Bless each one that's here. Bless each one that listens. And pray for each family that's represented. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not judge one another. This is a broad subject. And when I first started on this, I thought, oh, no. This is a lot. But as part of the introduction, I want to give you five things that we're going to focus on this morning. This is a broad subject, as I said, so we're going to approach it from our context. That's the one another commands. And this command is in Romans 14:13. One another commands. So that we're going to take the broad subject and we're going to narrow it a bit and focus on where the Lord gave the command to us through Paul in Romans 14. And so we're going to approach it from our context. Number two, we're going to distinguish biblical judging. Yes, there is biblical judging, from unbiblical judging. And we tend to think of only the unbiblical judging. So we're going to distinguish those two. Number three, we're going to look at it from the one another command. This is a one another command. Do not judge one another. It's a reciprocal command. So we're going to look at it from that perspective. And we're going to look at the effects, number four, of judging, good and bad judging, okay? Then we're going to look at some things and times God wants us to judge. We're going to look at some things and times God wants us to judge. And that's number five. So we're going to approach it from our context. It's a broad subject. And we're going to distinguish biblical and unbiblical. We're going to look at it from the one another command, from that perspective. We're going to look at the effects of judging, good and bad. And then we're going to look at some things and times God wants us to judge. We're going to start out, the introduction has three bullets here, unbiblical judging, and biblical judging. Okay, so we'll look at those in just a minute. First, I want to share a story with you, an illustration regarding Chuck Swindoll. Dr. Chuck Swindoll was in a pastor's conference in Spokane, Washington, and he told the story of being in a Christian camp in California. And he said the first day, a man approached him and said he was there because he had always looked forward to hearing him speak in person and express this delight at being able to realize that desire of being able to come and hear Dr. Swindoll in person. And that evening, Dr. Swindoll, sure enough, noticed the man sitting near the front, but in only a few minutes into the message, the man fell asleep. Now, I want to tell you that there's nothing more demoralizing than having somebody go to sleep while you're teaching. You kind of want to give them a little more emphasis and try to wake them up. And it's tough. And Dr. Swindoll thought to himself, well, perhaps the person had a long day's drive and couldn't help himself. And the same thing happened the next few nights, and Dr. Swindoll found his exasperation with the man, found himself exasperated with the man, and it growing. He started getting frustrated. So on the last night, the man's wife came up and apologized to her husband for her husband's inattentiveness to the messages. She then explained that he had been recently diagnosed as having terminal cancer, and the medication he was taking to ease the pain would make him extremely sleepy, and he would fall asleep. But it had been one of his lifelong ambitions to hear Dr. Swindoll speak before he died, and now he had fulfilled that goal. And I don't know what Dr. Swindoll felt like after that revelation, but I'm sure he recognized the impossibility of our knowing the mind of others and what their circumstances are and resulting actions, sometimes intended, sometimes unintended. Only God knows the hearts and minds of others. We think we know, but we don't know. God knows, and He alone looks at the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, and I think it's very wise then to be loving, to be kind, to be generous, to be forgiving and tolerant of others, because we don't know what God is doing with them, what has been happening in their lives. You may be talking to someone that has a death sentence from a doctor, and people react differently to that. I think it's wise to be kind to people and patient with people. Now, we're going to distinguish here a little bit between biblical and unbiblical judging. Unbiblical judging, your first bullet point there under introduction, unbiblical judging destroys love and unity, period. The Bible prohibits judging unbiblically. And, you know, Satan works to destroy our love and unity in Christ and to sabotage our testimony and our ministries. And it's been said, quote, unbiblical judging is Satan's trap to destroy our effective service for Christ. You know, I don't know any of you have ever seen those bear traps that have a great big hoop on one side and another one, and they spread out like this, but when they close, bam, like that, and they can break a leg if you accidentally step in one. And that's what I think of when I think of trap. Unbiblical judging is Satan's trap to destroy our effective service for Christ. That's my quote. You know, one of the quickest ways that Christians can destroy mutual love and a sense of oneness in the church or unity is by judging one another unbiblically. Once a person thinks their opinion or way of doing things is absolutely the best, especially when a disputed doctrine or practice as an issue, that person then is in danger of imposing his own standards, not God's, and setting himself up as a judge. It'd be difficult to estimate how many churches have suffered divisions and hard feelings and ineffective ministries over an issue which in the long run is of secondary or minor importance. It's to this problem that Paul, in our context in Romans 14, addresses this command. And the second bullet is unbiblical judging creates divisions, resentment, and sabotage ministries, as I said. Perhaps our natural inclination to judge is based on our own natural fleshly inclinations towards pride, self-glory, selfishness, fleshly desires, ambition, covetousness, and other similar things. Perhaps we judge others because we don't want to admit the sin in our own lives. Now that's kind of harsh, but I think that may be close to the truth. Biblical judging is commanded, number three bullet there. Now, I'm going to share some examples of what God wants us to do biblically as far as judging. But right now, I want to just introduce one so that we see the balance here. What about us? Should we judge ourselves? And the answer is, Scripture actually instructs us to evaluate ourselves to determine our obedience to His Word, our relationship to Christ. And one of those places that occurs is when Paul talks to the First Corinthians about their misuse of the communion. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 11:27. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, listen to this, number 30, verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 11. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Paul's saying that some of the Corinthians, and in 1 Corinthians, are weak and sickly. They're sick because of abusing the Lord's Supper, and some sleep. They didn't fall asleep in Chuck Swindoll's messages. They died. This is death. The Lord took them home for abusing the communion. For if we would judge ourselves, 30-31, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So let's look at some of the words here. The Lord wants us, we're talking about judging ourselves, the Lord wants us to examine ourselves. That word examine in verse 28, let a man examine himself, is the word prove, to test, to approve. He wants us to take a look at our lives and see if it matches up to what we should be doing. Are we being like Christ? Are we being like Satan? That word is dokimazo. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. Pronounced dokimazo. Dokimazo. And He wants us to examine ourselves. Let's look at verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, that word is dakrino, spelled D-A-K-R-I-N-O, to separate throughout. Use discernment or to discriminate. That is to think and evaluate. And if you notice in verse, look under the command, in verse 13 there, number one under the command, both words are translated judge and or krino in the Greek. That's going to be the primary word that we see used for judge, krino, K-R-I-N-O. This word is dakrino, which is a specific form of the word that means to discern, to determine. And if we judge ourselves, if we evaluate ourselves, if we discern whether we are following Christ, then we will not be judged. And that word is the word that is in our command, krino. It means to, if you see down in number one under command, to separate, select, choose, to determine, and then to pronounce, to judge and pronounce judgment. Now, number 32 says, when we are judged, and that word is krino, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. When God, for if we judge ourselves, then we're not going to be judged. But if God judges us, then we are chastened of the Lord because we're believers. And then the world is going to suffer the condemnation, and that word there is katakrino, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-N-O, condemned. to give judgment against, to pass sentence upon. The world has had sentence passed against them, and they're going to everlasting condemnation in the lake of fire, in hell. But the Lord chastens His people, sparing them when they've sinned, and spares them from eternal condemnation. We have that security. So, that's an example of the Lord wanting us to judge ourselves. And that's a very telling passage there, very serious passage, because some died because they didn't evaluate themselves and examine themselves. So we are to do that. And I have a quote from MacArthur regarding that passage and he says, "To come to the Lord's table clinging to one's sin does not only dishonor the ceremony, but it also dishonors Christ's body and blood. Treating lightly the gracious sacrifice of Christ for us, it's necessary, when before the Lord's Supper, before communion, to set all sin before the Lord, then partake, so as not to mock the sacrifice for sin by holding on to it. When believers do not properly judge the holiness of the celebration of communion, they treat with indifference the Lord Himself, His life, His suffering, and His death." Powerful statement by MacArthur, and true. I want to quote a gentleman, Thomas A. Kempis, who was like a monk in the 14th century, and so I don't recommend him as a scholar or somebody we should look up to, but I use his quote because it's true. It says, I have two quotes from him. "How rarely we weigh our neighbor in the same balance which we weigh ourselves." In other words, we kind of use a different set of scales for our neighbor than we do for us. So the one we use for our neighbor is kind of rigged to look a lot worse than ours. So we need to be wary about how we judge others. And we're going to look at the command next, Romans 14 and verse 13. And "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye." We're going to read Romans 14, 1 through 13. The command is in 13. And this passage is about doubtful or disputed practices. And Paul deals with this because a lot of judging was going back and forth about what one person believed was okay and another said it wasn't. And then there was strife between the two. And often we refer to this passage as reflecting the liberty that we have in Christ, because whatsoever is not of faith is sinful. And we have liberty, and a stronger brother is the one that believes we have liberty to do things that are not expressly prohibited in Scripture, and yet they're essentially non-essential doctrines, and we have liberty to believe what we think the Lord wants us to do. And you'll notice in this passage there will be seven different uses of the word judge. So with that little bit of a background, let's read it. Verse 1, Romans 14. "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For if one that believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him not eat it. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of the dead and living. Both of the dead and living. And you're getting into the heart of our passage, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In your handout, under number one, both words in verse 13, judge, are the word krino, K-R-I-N-O in the Greek. And that means, primarily, to separate, to select, to choose, to determine, and often to judge and pronounce judgment. Now, this passage, the first occurrence in verse 13, that's our command, so let's focus on that for a second. The first occurrence in verse 13 is translated to judge or pass judgment. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. And that has to do with the fact that people in the Roman church were actually judging one another based on what they were doing in these disputed practices. Some believed they could eat meat offered to idols. Some believed that they couldn't. Some believed that they could eat herbs, and some believed that they didn't need to do that. There were meals, because they all came out of Jewish and other backgrounds, so there were a lot of beliefs. One would hold this day, one would hold another day. One believed they could only eat this, one would believe they could eat anything. And so they were judging one another based on what they were doing. But Paul said, don't pronounce sentence, make a decision and pronounce sentence on someone, but rather this, judge this. And that's judge. The second word judge is used in the sense of to form an opinion, to decide or determine. And Paul, in his masterful use of words, says, don't pronounce sentence on another one, another brother, but judge this. And by that judge, he means determine this, decide this. Let no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall into his brother's way. And what he is saying there is, you want to judge? Fine. Judge this. Judge in this way. Determine. Decide that you're not going to be a stumbling block to your brother. Because a stronger brother could engage in a practice that a younger brother, would do not in faith. And later on in this passage says, whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. So that brother would do that and not have the faith and fall into sin. So Paul's point is to make them aware of the younger brother and to give up that liberty voluntarily if they needed to do that. And that's a whole other subject. But I wanted to also call attention to some of the other parts of this passage. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to dispute about doubtful or disputed practices. Not to argue over things that aren't written in the scriptures. And that word receive, remember from last week?
Yeah.
Proselambano means to receive, to accept, to welcome with a special interest. And that's what we are to do. And also that word is used again in the end of verse 3. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. God has already accepted him and welcomed him. So who are you to judge someone? He stands or falls before God. And Paul really masterfully destroys the notion that it's okay to judge others on these disputed practices. Mm-hmm. And the word judge is used 7 times in this passage. Okay, we already decided it was twice in verse 13. In verse 3, the word judge. Verse 4, judges. Verse 5, this is in your handout number 3. Esteem is the word krino. It's judge. It's to determine, to choose. And that's used twice. And then judge in verse 10 is used once. That's 7 times. Now, Paul really refutes the notion that we should be judging one another. This is unbiblical judgment. Now, we've been in the context of talking about disputed practices and not judging one another based on our desire to do those, to judge one another because we think we have a better way. And so our focus has been, we're going to narrow our focus and our definition to the context of Romans 14:13 command. And let's look at that definition. Judging one another is reckoning and determining, determining or deciding one's own position on a disputed practice or doctrinal question. That's something that's not specified in Scripture, that view is superior to others, and expressing criticism and condemnation or displeasure to those who disagree with us. So it's reckoning that my position is better than yours and making fun of you or criticizing you or condemning you and expressing displeasure at those that disagree with me. Now, I'm just saying that for illustration. I would not, hopefully I would never do that. Now, our first example, page 2, the top, we're going to use this example again. This is the example in 3 John. There's only one chapter of 3 John, 9 through 11. You remember Diotrephes that we talked about last week that wouldn't receive the brethren? We're going to read that passage, 9 through 11. I wrote it to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among us, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would receive the brethren, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now, we talked about this is the not receiving is the word epidekomai, and that is means to literally to accept aside. It means to receive, accept, to approve. Okay, and notice in verse 9, I said the historical usage was accepting the terms of a lease. Remember, you sign a lease in a contract, you have to initial here, you check that, and they want to make sure you understand all that. And that's where that came from, accepting terms of a lease or contract. And in verse 9, as we said last week, Diotrephes refuted and did not receive, he rejected the apostle of John and his doctrine. Now, how in the world could you ever do that? I could never understand that. But he did, because he wanted to be the one to proclaim what people believed. And he did not accept, he did not receive John's doctrine. And in verse 10, he refused to receive the brethren, the people that would travel through that needed hospitality to stay. He refused them as well. He rejected them as well. So Diotrephes made some judgments here, and made 3 or 4 or 5 judgments, however you count it. Number 1, Diotrephes judged that John's apostolic authority, he's an apostle. I can't imagine. He rejected, based on his judgment, John's apostolic authority, and it didn't apply to him, and he completely rejected. And he also used malicious words towards him. One of his deeds was to speak evil words against John. And then he judged all those visiting the brethren and refused to receive them and offer them hospitality. And number three, part A of number three, he also judged Christians and cast them out of the church. And he also judged and forbade others to accept the brethren. So that's not in the handout. So I wanted to add that so it's clear what he did that was wrong. So Paul's negative example. I'll go through that again. Diotrephes judged that John's apostolic authority did not apply to him, and he rejected it. He also used malicious words against the Apostle John and his doctrine. He judged all those visiting and refused the brethren and refused to accept them with hospitality. And then three, he also judged the Christians that tried to receive the brethren in spite of him and cast them out of the church. And he forbade others to receive the brethren. Let's look at Paul's negative example of in 1 Corinthians 1. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13, this is a passage where people say, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And each one said, well, I'm going to follow this person. Some said, I'm of Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and I of Christ. So, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 through 13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions, that's strife, arguments, disagreements among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's showing how ridiculous that statement is and that belief and those contentions. He wants them to be the same mind and the same judgment. Not, the goal is unity, not contentions and strife. And the Corinthians made judgments which caused arguments and factions in the church. They should have been focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not who was sharing the message with them. And when, in the verse 10 at the end where he says, in the same mind and the same judgment, the word judgment is gnome, spelled G-N-O-M-E. G-N-O-M-E. It's a means of knowing, literally. That is, they should have the same purpose, the same intention. They should judge what is true and what is right. The same purpose, intention, understanding, or opinion. They should be in unity. The goal is unity, not strife. Let's move on to the principles. There are issues and matters that the Scriptures leave to the individual believer. And I want you to listen carefully here. Complete conformity and uniformity are not required for love and unity. These differences are not to be a point in contention, a point of contention or arguments or division or disharmony. Believers are not to create standards of, number two, for believers that the Scriptures don't make. That's legalism, okay? If we say, you have to obey the Scriptures, and also you have to do this, you have to do this, but you can't do that, but you have to do this, and you have to have this in a certain way, that's legalism, and you're adding to the Scriptures, which is wrong. Number three, creating unscriptural demands on others is making yourself a judge of the law and assuming God's position of lawgiver and judge. And we looked at that, I believe, last week. Speak not evil, James 4, 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver and applied in that passage, and judge. There's one judge because of the previous phrase. There's one lawgiver and one judge who is able to save and destroy. Who are you? Who are thou that judgest another? Now, I want to look at the words here that are reflected by judge. Paul is saying, you don't have any right to judge because there's one lawgiver. There's one judge, and that's Christ. Okay? He said, the first word judge in verse 11, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, that's krino. That's what we have in our passage in Romans 14, 13. And speaketh evil of the law and judges the law, again, that's krino again. But if thou judge, krino again, the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now that word is the word for a judge, one who judges. And it's K-R-I-T-E-S, pronounced Krites. So, if you're making laws, you're a lawgiver and a judge. We're doers of the law. We're followers of the law. Christ is the judge. Amen. There's one lawgiver and one judge. And the final word, who art thou that judgest, is krino. Okay. So, creating unscriptural demands on others is making yourself a judge of the law and assuming God's position of lawgiver and judge. Number four, fellowship, that is receiving, accepting one another in fellowship and actually accepting people entrance to the church should not be determined on, and listen carefully here, a believer's view of non-essentials. Now, Romans 14, 1 says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to argue. Okay? Not for doubtful disputations. Okay? And it goes on to say, well, one believes they can eat this. One believes they can eat this. One believes that they can do this. One believes this a certain holiday. And we are not to accept others that are joining our fellowship or in the body of believers that and argue with them about doubtful things. Things that are not specifically addressed in the Scripture. And there are a lot. But we are to accept others into the body of believers that subscribe to our doctrinal statement. So don't make a mistake and think that I am saying that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. That's not true. There are doctrines of the faith, and Paul is the first one, and we're going to talk about that we look at people and what they believe later. But those joining our fellowship and the body of believers must subscribe to our statement of faith, our doctrinal statement. We believe that Jesus is God. He was also a man. He came to earth. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. We believe in the miracles. We believe in the Trinity. We have a set doctrinal statement to which we must subscribe. But the other things that aren't, the things that aren't disputed practices or the things that aren't mentioned in Scripture that we are trying to determine because we want to know more about God, those we may have different opinions on. Accusing others of sin who differ in non-essential matters is harmful and divisive and unscriptural, and it affects our love and unity. Each believer, number six, will answer to God for his own actions. Remember that passage in Romans 14 that we are going to stand before God and give an answer, an account of ourselves to God. So God is the judge, we are the doers. Now, rather than judge others, we should accept, love, and embrace others as the Lord has accepted us. Romans 15:7, remember this passage from last week. Wherefore, receive ye one another, accept one another, warmly welcome one another, as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. And then Colossians 3:13, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, that's love, which is the bond of perfectness, which is maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, to God and the Father by Him. Amen. Rather than judge one another, we should accept one another and love and embrace others as the Lord has accepted us. That's number 7. Now, I want to share an illustration by Wesley. You know, sometimes we judge or criticize others unfairly. We don't know all their circumstances or motives, as I pointed out with the first illustration. Only God, who is aware of all the facts, is able to judge people righteously. We think we can, as I said earlier. Not us, God. John Wesley told of a man that he had little respect for because he considered him to be miserly and covetous. One day, when this person contributed only a small gift to a worthy charity, Wesley openly criticized him. After the incident, the man went to Wesley privately and told him he had been living on parsnips and water for several weeks. He explained that before his conversion, he had run up many bills. Now, by skimping on everything and buying nothing for himself, he was paying off his creditors one by one. Christ, he said, has made me an honest man, and so with all these debts to pay, I can give only a few offerings above my tithe. I must settle up with my worldly neighbors and show them what the grace of God can do in the heart of a man who was once dishonest. Wesley then apologized to the man and asked his forgiveness. Now, let's learn from John Wesley. Who are we to judge unbiblically? Rather than judge, let's love, accept, and embrace others as the Lord loved and accepted and embraced us when He received us. Look at the comment on the top of page 3. This command was first given in the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Here, it's a warning against unjust or hypocritical, that is, unbiblical judgment. It's not a prohibition from all judgment, which a lot of people think it is. It's not a prohibition from spiritual discernment and biblical judging. Okay, let's look at it quickly. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, Matthew 7, 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Let's look at the note, some judgments that we are to do. These are judgments that are necessary and commanded that usually involve decisions of truth, conduct, or discipline. We are to judge, one, not to put a stumbling block or temptation in a fellow believer's path. Okay, that is deciding. And that was our passage, Romans 14, 13, where Paul said to the Romans, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but decide, judge. Let us decide this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Number two, all things. We literally are commanded to judge all things. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, this passage says a lot of things. The word judge is used three times in every case. It's a different word, but it's a part of the word that we have in Romans 14. It's anakrino, A-N-A-K-R-I-N-O. Anna, A-N-A-krino, K-R-I-N-O. And so it means to discern, examine, investigate, or question. So the natural man does not understand spiritual things because they can only be spiritually discerned. We have the mind of Christ. We that are spiritual, in verse 15, judges, anakrino, judges all things. That is to discern, examine, investigate, question. Yet he himself is judged of no man, because no one knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. The natural man can't know the spiritual. But we are to judge all things. Looking at number three, believer's conduct and adherence to scriptural standards. We are to judge sin in the church. 5:11-13. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, or an idolater, a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? God judges those who are without. Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among you yourselves the wicked person. Now, believers' conduct and adherence to scriptural standards is judged. And this may be needed to be done with leadership, deacons and elders, and there's a process for church discipline. But we are determined. This is judging and determining, whereas number one is deciding, number two is evaluating, number three, this is determining. We are, and quoting Chuck Swindoll, when God calls you to confront someone else, he will empower you to speak the truth in love. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, that's what God does, but it's certainly our responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God calls us to judge those, and accountability must ensue. And that's judging and determining. And then the one we've already talked about, number four, ourselves and our walk with Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:5, and that passage talks about judging and examining. And so this is examining. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? So that word, examine and prove, is the same word, and it's the same word that we looked at, examine ourselves before the Lord's Supper. And it means it's dokimazo, D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O, dokimazo. And it means to test, try, or prove. We are to examine ourselves to see if we are in adherence with God's being like Christ and following him. And Lamentations 3:40 says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. We must examine ourselves and see if we are maintaining what God wants us to be. Look at the importance. Obedience to this command is essential for the effective ministry and love and unity in the church. Judging will create discontentment and strife, along with pride, bitterness, division, and even evil speaking. These are tools of Satan to destroy and disable the ministry of the church. When believers avoid judging one another, the church remains strong and love and unity are manifested. And Romans 15:6 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Jesus Christ. that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Harold Alexander, the author of this study, whom I met and went to church with in Florida, said, we can't win the world for Christ if we lose each other. Mm-hmm. We do not need to judge one another. May we be a church that loves one another and not judges one another unbiblically. May we judge one another biblically, but may we not judge one another unbiblically. May God bless this church and help us to increase in love and increase in serving one another and have a heart for loving each other so that we can win the world for Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truths that you've given us in your word. Lord, we ask that you would, through the power of your Spirit, help us to not judge one another unbiblically. Help us not to be hypocritical and are unloving. And Lord, help us not to center on the things that are unimportant, but help us to center on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to minister to those that are in the body of Christ, and that we might take responsibility for loving and serving each other. I thank you for this time we've had. Bless everyone that listens. I pray for them and their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay.